the ADVFN podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the ADVFN podcast, episode 251. It's the weekend podcast, a little bit different from the weekday podcast because it doesn't make much sense. I'm joined by Pete.
Yes, hello.
And Steve.
Hiya.
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 And have you had a nice week, lads?
Yeah, it's been good, thank you very much.
Okay, have you been busy?
I have been busy, and I've been watching the markets, and I haven't been tempted to buy anything, and I'm feeling the uncertainty still.
Yeah, I felt just before that Greek thing went through, because the Greek bill has happened now. Cyprus, the Greek prime minister, has pushed it through Parliament. Even though, I don't know if you saw TV there, one of the Greek MPs standing up and ripping up the agreement for the TV. I think he's a bit angry. Well, they can't do anything else, though. They've got no money. They have to go for the deal, which is a deal a lot worse than it was before they held the referendum on whether to have the deal or not. So, you know, it's a pointless referendum, really. But that threw the market into a bit of a wobbler. But having said that, this week now, it's been quite good since. You know, it's come back a bit today, but it did rally. I mean, the FTSE, for example, went down to, I think, 64.29. And now, right now, it's at 67.75. So, you know, that's over 300 points in a couple of days, which is, you know, it's bounced back up like crazy there. Steve, listen, you had a bit of a nightmare last week. Well, not a nightmare, but one of your stocks, which is a good quality stock, took a bit of a hit. That's Virgin Money.
Oh, that was up the week before as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was doing well. So let me just select your portfolio there. Because we've gifted Steve £100,000. He's used it all up now. He's bought 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 stocks with £100,000. And this is how they look. Arm Holdings, which has been upgraded today, actually, by a broker, which would have helped. But they're still down just less than 10%. Auto Trader's doing well for you, Steve. It's up 9%. And you put like 20 grand into that, so that's quite good. Home Retail, down 4.3%. Intercontinental Hotels, down 3.6%. Premier Foods, down 7.29%. Have you been boosting their profits, Steve? Have you eaten any of their stuff recently?
No, that's the problem, I think.
Because that investment, how much did you put in that? 10 grand investment was based on your like of pasta bake.
Yeah. Do you know what? I've not had a pasta bake for a while. So
well, that's the problem, Steve.
Yeah, there we are.
Poundland, which I liked as well as Auto Trader, you put 10 grand into that, and it's up 6.5%.
Ooh.
Pinewood's down 4%. But it's good things from Pinewood. Apparently, they're very busy. They're too busy. I was reading about them last week. And they've had to turn projects away from their studios at Pinewood because they're too busy. So that's why they're expanding into South Wales and restructuring the business because they've got a bit of debt. But I think midterm to longer term, they look good because they are requesting, you know, they're in demand. It's not through lack of you know, interest. It's just that they need to reorganise themselves and expand a bit. So they need to obviously invest in that. Royal Dutch Shell up 0.38%. They put 18 grand into that. 7,000 odd, you know, just really. You know. And Virgin Money put 17 grand into that. That's down 11%.
Why has that gone down so much?
Well, the budget, George, George Osborne, obviously scared by the HSBC, threatening to move out of the country to go to a different country, because there's a bank levy, and banks have to pay a lot of money to the Chancellor in this country. And it was introduced after the financial crash, basically to say to banks, you know, you're paying this back, essentially. So HSBC, the biggest bank in Europe, pretty much the world, I think, said, well, we're moving out of, you know, out of the UK. George Osborne in the budget, worried, because the banking industry is huge in this country, you know? I mean, even Deutsche Bank has 9,000 employees in this country. So it's a huge industry. So he realises, hang on a sec, if banks start pulling out, we're going to lose a lot of revenue and a lot of employment. So he's decided to reduce the bank levy over the next few years. But what he's done is introduce a kind of tax on profits, which is going to hit sort of smaller banks, you know, as well as the bigger banks. So that's why, and, you know, the smaller banks will not be able to handle it as well. So that's why they took a big drop. But I think, you know, medium term, you're fine there. It's just taking a bit of a dip. What I'm saying, basically, you've mistimed the buy, you know. If you'd bought now, you'd be fine, because they've settled around this level anyway. But so overall, it's not too bad, Steve. Your portfolio is only down 2.37%.
Well, it's not too bad. I prefer it to be in profit, obviously.
Yeah, obviously, Steve. Yeah, I mean, but, you know, the three stocks that are up are sort of Auto Trader, Poundland, and Royal Dutch Shell. So, you know. But, Steve, you have a choice here. You have no money left, but you can choose to swap out if you want, to sell one of these and go for something else. I mean, is there any there you don't like? Like Arm, Auto Trader, Home Retail, Intercontinental Hotels, Premier Foods, Poundland, Pinewood, Royal Dutch Shell, Virgin Money. Is there any one of those you'd like to get rid of and buy something else off? Or even top up with something else?
What's the food, the pasta bake one?
That is Premier Foods.
Premier Foods. That's not looking good. Now, do you think I should stay in that and bear with it, or do you think?
Well, today it's gone up today. There's like a PFD. There's a chart on that. Yeah, I don't know. I can't see them being a much of a dynamic stock, you know, growth story. But let's have a look at the chart. PFD is the ticker for anyone who's, you know, that interested.
Interested.
I don't think they will be.
In a stock that's going down and not too dynamic. So, Premier Foods. Oh, well, do you know what? It is bouncing. No, do you know what? It is bouncing on the bottom and it's been hitting this 40 pence level for a while, up and down
40p.
Since. Yeah, since about January, it's been going. Maximum's going to about 50, down to about 39. So, they could.
How much is a jar of pasta bake, Steve?
A pound.
Right, so that's the decision. 2.5 shares or a jar of your favourite pasta bake.
Mm. Yeah, but looking at the chart, what I'm saying is, Steve, they've had a, you know, slump last 5 years. I mean, they were like, this time 5 years ago, they're over £3, you know, and now they're down to 42 pence. They may go lower, you never know. Yeah.
Do you know what, I'm going to leave it this week. I'm going to see how this week goes and I'll decide next week.
Yeah, that's the way. You can tell he put a lot of thought into that, didn't he?
Yeah, I'll leave it.
I'm going to leave it this week. Yeah, go on.
What did he buy in it? I can't remember what he bought at.
Well, let's look. He is, Brave Foods, he's down 7%. So he probably bought it about 47, 45 pence for that, yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, it's carving out a nice bottom there, you know. And who doesn't like a nice bottom being carved out, eh? but, yeah, who knows? Pete, any news this week from your end? And we've been tell you what, Centrica was upgraded actually on Friday, which is a good thing. And we're on Centrica.
I don't really understand that, because British Gas announced that they're going to reduce bills. But why would that then be reflected by a rise in share price? Because that means lower profits.
Yes, but I think... But, you know, you've got the watchdog on Centrica, you know, and there's always this threat hanging over them that they may be forced to cap their profits.
Yes.
So they've got to toe the line with the regulators. So I think this was seen as a bit of a conciliatory move on their part, and maybe keep the regulators off their back a little bit, you know. So, so maybe it's a good move in that direction. So they're saying, yeah, listen, we are listening to what the regulators are saying. But essentially, they are a bit of a monopoly, you know. Do you know what, Steve? I would hold on to Premier Foods. I'm just looking there. Their forecasted revenue is expected to do a lot better. Their revenue is going down, but they made a loss last year of $135 million off pretty much $960 million turnover. Next year, the revenue goes down to $767 million, but they're going to make about a 10% profit there, so that's 72 million. So if that happens, if that comes through the end of 2016, then this stock will be re-rated. I think it'll go up, and we've got broker ratings here. Three of them say strong buy, two are neutral, so that's, you know, you've got no one saying a strong sell at the moment. So I think you should hold on to them. You made a good decision there, Steve.
Well done, Steve.
I know.
Yeah, let's look at Centrica. CP, I was reading this week about what's called dividends, right?
Mm.
And the trouble with your portfolio, Steve, because we're monitoring on a virtual site there, you obviously don't get dividends, or they don't get factored in. So if you chose to reinvest dividends, then that wouldn't show up in your portfolio, obviously, because you haven't actually bought the stocks. You know, all it's showing is capital appreciation. Basically, it's showing the share price going up or down. That's all it's showing, you know. Mm. Now, I read this week a couple of reports, and amazing, the power. We all know dividend reinvestment, you know, gives it's like compound interest. But I didn't realize this guy did a study over like 130 years or something ridiculous, and looking at stock markets and dividend reinvestment. And of all the returns, right, you get over 108 years, 97% of the returns are down to dividend reinvestment.
Wow.
So essentially, it's pointless worrying about, you know, I mean, it's good to have some capital appreciation in a share price.
Yes.
But if you're talking about long-term investments, you know, having dividends, basically money given back to you and buying more of that stock, is the way forward.
Yeah.
And like Centrica are at the moment almost just 5% dividend reinvestment. They got well covered.
And but that's kind of what I've been looking at when I've been looking at my portfolio. You need to look at the big hitting or big heavyweight stocks. And they're all kind of down. But you kind of go, well, that doesn't really matter because the dividend's being paid. So you just weather these storms. It's the smaller stocks that are the, you know, more of the worry, if you like, in terms of where they're going to go next.
Yeah, and I just think I see people on Twitter, you know, chasing these little mining stocks on the hope of them discovering. Basically, it's like the old Wild West. They're panning for, you know, gold almost. But they're employing people to do that for
speculating, aren't they?
It's speculation, and prospecting, really. Prospecting for the assets, you know. And I think, well, if you look at the stats, if you're a long-term investor, you know, you're completely in the wrong end of the market. You should be sort of looking into dividend-paying stocks and dividend-paying stocks with a bit of growth potential as well, because, you know, you should look at total return. That means the capital appreciation, the share price rising, and the dividend. And so that's the way forward. That's why now I really am a bit more choosy over penny stocks, because unless, you know, it's very hard to find a stock that doubles, triples overnight. And secondly, if you go by the track record of AIM, you're more than likely, you know, I mean, almost three quarters of investments on there lose money. So why play those kind of odds? It's like ridiculous. That's gambling. It is prospective, you know.
Yes. But so, the £1 million experiment.
Yeah, that hasn't gone that well to start off with. But to be fair, African potash. Ongoing. Yeah, African potash, but obviously £1,000 put into that. And they've not released any news at all. Now, it's got to be coming sooner or later, and so the share price is drifting down because they've raised money. They've got this this asset, African potash, there, and they've in Lakdinga, I think it's pronounced. But yet they've announced that they're striking up a partnership deal with the common market of Africa, but they've not really said anything about the asset, and that's what they're waiting for. They need, but I'm sort of glad nothing's happened yet, because the last few weeks anyway, you know, some of the sort of positive news has been drowned out by the market, you know, being in a bit of a wobble.
Is there anything myself and Steve can do to help your potash share price? Should we go to Africa, for example?
I'm up for that, Pete.
Okay, I mean, if we, me and him, we go to Africa, maybe buy some potash, I don't know.
Yeah, that could help, yes. You don't smoke it.
Okay, what is it exactly?
It's like a fertilizer, and it's... you know, and it's going to be wild
It's poo.
It's, essentially. I bought a load of crap. That's what I bought. Or not even that, potential of crap.
But we could do a live podcast from there next week if you want.
Yeah.
Does that help?
A potash podcast.
There we go.
Yeah. So, so essentially, that's why at the moment I am averaging down on
buying potash like it's going. Yeah,
no. Well, I weight my investments, and my investments in dividend stocks are heavier than my investments are lighter in penny stocks. So
on the plus side, your garden is looking amazing.
It's looking cracking.
That fertilizer is working wonders.
So I'm waiting for some news to come out of that. You know, it's been a long time, so I'm just waiting. But the guy in Chris Cleverly, the CEO there, he's a very switched on guy. I even called him up recently. He said, can I do an interview with him? He said at the moment he's very busy, his diary's full, but we could certainly, you know, drop him an email. So, but damn it.
There's stock that, I mean, we've both invested in, and that was several months ago, that, I'm looking sort of slightly worrying now, is Nanoco, because that sort of dropped sort of 20%. But I'm in it for the long haul. Nothing's changed fundamentally with that company, and they still have a potentially very good product that once the factory that Dow Chemical are funding, you know, actually starts producing workable units, it's going to potentially be a huge leap forward in production of cadmium-free quantum dots.
Yeah.
Have you read up anything more on that?
I've only got 500 quid of Nanoco. Ticket code NANO. But I do think I was going to sell them recently. But I thought, hang on a sec. They do these cadmium free quantum dots, which is groundbreaking technology, you know, and they are first movers, and they are the first company that can produce this this product on a mass scale. So part of me thinks, no, I don't want to let go of these because, you know, like I said, they haven't released. And in fact, they released an RNS yesterday about they also do lighting with cadmium free and lighting products and all this stuff. They're doing, they're expanding that line as well because there's commercial viability there. But they haven't really, you know, said anything about, like, so they, you know, basically TVs brighter and they're more environmentally friendly. And also, the European Commission has ruled in their, you know, in favour of them really because they're trying to get rid of these cadmium in TVs, which are you know, what are they called? They are, what do you call them? The actual bits.
Oh, heavy metals.
They're heavy metals with a not nuclear. What's it called? Radiation, almost, you know, on the radioactive side of the chemical chart there.
Right.
So okay, they are, they're not good. And they have been, over time, these will be outlawed.
Yeah,
and so Nanoco are the only company who can mass produce this environmentally friendly product. So I think, you know, they are like groundbreakers. And I think, you know, it will take a while. They've moved them to the main market as well, haven't they, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, for small cap. So that's a good thing. So I think it's... you know, it's, I'm going to keep my toe in there because I just think they are the potential to do well, you know, even though and you're going to get this with small companies that you're going to get to. It's like advanced oncotherapy, you know, they've dropped back, haven't they, from 17 pence the high now down to 8 pence just they did bob below 8 pence with a placing with that. But I mean, like I said, they are again groundbreaking technology, and it'll take years. It will take the end of 2016 before they even put a product out there. So you've got to expect a bit of volatility there. It's not going to be plain sailing all the way up. Anyway, let's go through my portfolio.
Absolutely.
Anite up 40%. Advanced Oncotherapy up 86%. Countrywide down 0.8%. Cyan, which I added last week, down 5.2%. That's a penny stock. Interpersonal Finance had a nightmare this week because they're basically loans, personal loans, and they're in the Eastern European market. Poland's their biggest market. And this week, like over here, there's a, in the lower parliament there, lower house in Poland, came out and one of the politicians said, right, there's going to be caps on non-interest paying sort of loans. And so that's the biggest market, dropped by 25% in one day. But that's down 18%. ITE Group down 4.5%. PayPoint up 5.9%. Prudential down 1.1%. Royal Dutch Shell down 2.48, so that means you've timed it better there, Steve, with your Royal Dutch purchase because you're up on that. Yeah. Renewron, a cracking raise, they raised 68 million. They're up close to 40% or 39%. Synergin up 4.2%. Standard Chartered up 9%. The star of the week, Telecom Plus.
Oh, yes,
they've been roaring, they've been going crazy. I bought this at 780, they're now up 40.4%. Utility wise as well, in the same sort of field, up 20%. And Velocis, a nightmare again.
Yeah.
The CEO sacked.
Yes.
Because of an investigation, not into fraud or money apparently, but that's dropped. And even Woodford has got out of the. But you know,
but Roman Abramovich is still in.
I bet he's scared. He's lost a bit of cash there.
Yeah.
He bought 21% of the company. It sounds like do the math. So he owns about a fifth of this company, right? And let's have a look. It's dropped by almost 25%. So what is it? VLS Velocis, a small gas to liquids company. Again, this is another company, groundbreaking. They have patents, about 100 patents on their processes. But yet not, you know, commercially putting anything out there yet. It's yet to get going. So they are market cap 131 million, dropped by 25%. So he owns about, 30 million of that?
Wow.
And £30 million worth, and that dropped by about a quarter last week. Nice. Do you think he'd be bothered by that?
What, because of his $40 billion or pound and wealth? Probably not.
Yeah, I suppose not. What's the equivalent of us? So, Steve, if you're a billionaire, all right?
Which, in time, you will be.
Yeah, of course.
Yep.
And you lost, say, 20 million. Would that bother you? It's not like really. It's like saying what you earn now, I suppose, what is the equivalent? Is it, I don't know, I can't even put the equivalent.
No.
Would it be like losing 100 quid? Or would it be like 50 quid? Or something like that? Be a bit annoyed, wouldn't you?
I'd be disappointed and probably have a bad weekend, but, you know, I'm not going to be that upset about it.
Okay. Yeah. I remember we were in gambling once, Steve. Remember the casino? That was hilarious.
I knew you were
going to
bring this up.
That was hilarious.
What happened?
And what were the machines we were playing? We weren't playing with human beings. We were playing on these automated roulette things. Private booths. I was banned from that casino. It was a casino in Cardiff.
You both were, actually.
Do you know why?
Yeah.
For asking for a fag off a Chinese gentleman. Obviously a big client of the thing. And it threw me out, and I went back there another time. I didn't know I was banned, I don't think.
I know exactly why you were both banned, because you wouldn't drink your drinks up quick enough at closing time, and you refused to leave. That's why you were banned.
No, we didn't refuse. You were
escorted off by security.
We were enjoying our beverages. Yeah.
Do you know what? That makes us sound like very bad people, when actually it was boisterous, that's all we were. And we weren't aggressive anyway, we were just clowns, essentially.
Yes. You were just insistent that you wanted to finish your pint of cider.
I still believe it was trying to get a fag off that Chinese gentleman who's probably a big client.
But anyway, regardless of that, what was the story with Steve?
Let's go back to Steve, because Steve tried to deflect. Yeah. So we were there, and we're... I do take part of the blame here a little bit. Steve has a system. I said, go with the system, Steve. And what was the system? It was doubling up, wasn't it, on your losses, which is always a good thing to do, yeah. And so there's little roulette things that spin round, and how do you put cash in, Steve, or little vouchers or something? I can't remember.
You just sucks your cash in, doesn't it?
Yeah, sucks your cash in there.
Brilliant.
And so Steve started doubling up, and how much did you lose, Steve? 400 quid, wasn't it?
It wasn't quite that much. It was about 300.
It's 400 quid. And he was gutted. It's almost like someone had dragged his soul through his backside body. He walked from it with no colour, no expression. It almost looked like a ghost had literally... Yeah.
In all fairness, what are the chances of Reds coming up 12 times in a row?
Not a lot, but do you know what? It did happen. And that's why... Do you know what? The thing is... It's the same with AIM. People who literally have the majority of their investments on AIM, it's the same thing. You go in there, you know full well the odds are stacked against you. Like AIM, the casino, it's called the casino AIM, the alternative investment market. And you go in there, that nice place they've built, and they give you sort of free food, whatever. You wonder, I wonder how they can get this. Do you know what? It's because of mugs losing all the time. And people don't even put two and two together.
Blur have continued their free fall.
Yes.
25p now.
Yeah.
Wow, and you kind of got out of them in the...
I got out of 36 pence, I think, yeah, because... Yeah. But even that, you know, I was ridiculous. I bought a 60. Oh, no, sorry, it's 59 pence I bought at. Right. They were up to £1.03.
Wow.
And then it literally came back to, I got out. Because, I didn't have a lot of money in them anyway.
No.
But what annoyed me, like I said, is lack of transparency there. And asking about when the results are out, they wouldn't even tell me, and all this. I couldn't get any answers from them. And then eventually they sneaked out, which is always a bad sign. This is always a bad sign when a company releases results after markets closed. They do that and sneak it out, and it was bad. The results were bad. They're like, I think on a turnover of something. They lost 11 million on a turnover of I don't know what it was, a lot less. And I said, that's not good, because when you think of it, sometimes you've got to look into a company, and almost making a loss helps you sometimes reevaluate the company. Because I was looking at this thing, and this is quite cutting edge. But when you think of it, it's not. It's very much like Elance, Elance or Odesk, these companies that you pitch. Basically, you put a job out there online, and you get all these people around the world pitching for it to self-employed, and then the company, the platform takes a cut, and Blur does that with business processes, I suppose. Yep. Which what's the difference? And Odesk and Elance, you can get people doing this for next to nothing, or even Fiverr.com, you can get really they boast all these big clients, but I can't see it being that groundbreaking, Hey, I'm liking Centrica, Pete.
Thanks very much.
I'm just looking at the chart right now, and I look at the 200-day moving average, and it's a good sign. It's never really stayed above this 200-day moving average for the last year for more than one trading day. Now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 281, that's a resistance level there. It's also the previous gap in the chart. That's going to motor a bit, I think. I think you know you picked those nicely. You did pick those. I mentioned that, didn't I? I said, look, recovery stocks, always good. You know, look at that. Right now, I think Rolls-Royce is worth looking into because they are being hammered.
Yes.
Every broker said downgraded them. They've had a profits, three profits warnings. And normally that's enough before they restructure the business. Yep. But like I said, they pay a half-decent dividend.
Yeah, exactly. And a dividend-paying stock, it takes any sort of hammering. It was kind of seemed to make sense to buy into it, unless it's going to continue to be hammered and it's going to have to cut dividend and all the rest of it. I mean, my view on Centrica was always that, well, that's come down like a good 10% or something. It was like, well, that's quite a good time to get in. But a bit more luck than judgment, but you know.
Yeah.
It seems pretty good.
So, Steve, when are you going to start investing for real? When have you got enough cash?
I told you, I've got investments.
Yeah, but you've got some other mug, some maniac, you know, advising you. You don't need that now. You've got two guys here who are experts in the field of investment.
Yes, I still don't have enough disposable cash. I'm still building my business, thank you.
You've got two guys here banned from a casino.
Exactly. For refusing to leave and catching cigarettes off Chinese gentlemen. Now, if that isn't a good CV, what is it? But I tell you what, Steve, out of the three of us, you know, none of us lost £400 on automated roulette things, doubling up on our losses.
There was actually a man spinning the wheel.
Yeah, a very small man inside, yeah. Fixing it, Steve. Watch. This probably was a guy upstairs looking through CCTV saying, watch this guy here now. He's had red three times on a trot. Watch this now. Watch, watch. He's going for red again. Watch this now. Stop on red. Oh! Two security guys upstairs laughing their heads off. Cool. So I think that we've natted on enough. Any more stuff you got there, Pete? Any more questions? Any more?
Absolutely nothing.
So essentially, you know, like we said before, always, you know, fill your portfolio with dividend-paying stocks because they will pay dividends. They are the money winners long-term. Yes, have a little punt now and again on penny stocks, but don't have, you know, anywhere near a tenth, more than a tenth of your portfolio invested in them because, do you know what, especially on AIM, if you're investing on AIM, almost a three-quarters chance you're going to lose. They have 72%. So why play with that kind of odds against you? And if you go into the small cap arena that's on the fully listed market, do you understand what I mean by this, Steve?
No.
There's two different markets, essentially, right? There's the London Stock Exchange, which you probably know about. You know, all the big companies are on there. I think all the companies you're invested in there in your portfolio are listed on the full exchange, and there's a high regulatory sort of process there to get on that market. It costs more to get on that market, plus you have to pass, you know, certain criteria. And so it's not easy to get on there. It's highly regulated, you know. Now, there's the AIM market, which is the alternative investor market, still owned by the London Stock Exchange Group, but it's basically for startups. And I think it was started like 20 years ago. It was the anniversary a couple of weeks back. But it was aimed at companies looking to raise cash, being startup companies, you know, and also because of this, there's less regulation. And also because of this, you may get a few more dodgy people running these companies, you know, or people who aren't as truthful. Or let's say people are a bit more free with the truth, you know, and they're a bit more flowery and flouncy and they embellish the statements a bit more. So not as reliable the companies. So you've got to be very careful when you're investing on AIM, you know. You've got to do a lot more checking, a lot more research because they're less regulated companies. And so basically the stats in 20 years, 72% of all investments on AIM have lost money. 30% of prime investors have lost 95% of their money in investments. So, and if you go to the full market, even small companies on that market, the fully listed market, have had a fivefold increase in 20 years. So the difference is huge. So, you know, you've even got to look at whether, if you're on a small cap company on the full listed market, there's a better chance you'll do well in that investment than on the AIM market. So it's just worth looking at, you know. So I don't know what the point was at the start of that anyway, but there we are. You know, I want to say is, you know, you can't go into an arena where the stats are, stacked against you and expect to win. It doesn't work like that. It's like going to bookie. I was a manager of a bookies for a year, and I used to be people coming in there boasting about their wins, and I knew full well they were doing their backside, you know. It was horrible to see. There were two guys next door in the business they owned, restaurants in town. They'd come in on a day, start off with whacking £200 down on trap one. They didn't care what the dog was. They just run in a bit late, see the bell ringing, write number two on the slip, £200. By the end of the day, they were betting for 20 pence. Sometimes they were asking for a loan of a quid. and they do that most days. And I think, how sad is that? These guys are good businesses, and they're wasting. And they, I mean, they're not dull because they've got three businesses doing really well, and yet they're throwing all their money away. Wow. So it's almost like people are blind sometimes to the stats. So you think you can't win, and on AIM, it's stacked against you. So and people plow on regardless. They can win.
It reminds me of that time in the casino.
Yeah,
with Steve.
Thanks.
He hasn't got over it, you can tell.
Yeah. What are the chances of Red coming in four times in a row, eh? What are the chances of that? God, can't believe it. Anyway, Steve, are you going to your man bar tonight?
I am going to the man bar tonight, yes.
To DJ. But seriously, I mean, I don't want to be homophobic. It's a gay bar, isn't it?
It's not a gay bar, no.
Steve,
just because I play YMCA doesn't mean it's a gay bar.
Yeah, and you dress in a thong and chaps.
Well, that's just personal.
Yeah, even though the management have told you not to. So, Steve, please don't wear that. It's quite
the last time.
Yeah, it's quite a classy. Okay, Miles, have a nice weekend, fellas. And Steve, you should give the disclaimer here, the warning people about investing.
I don't think we need to. I think it's fairly obvious.
Steve, go on, Steve.
Don't invest on any tips that we give you, because you'll probably lose money.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Perfect. Thanks, lads.
Beautiful. Bye.
Cheers.
The ADBFN podcast with Justin Waite.